歌書第二首，歌書第二首。
请大家赞美上主，因为他是美善的。请大家赞美上主，阿利路亚。请大家赞美上主，因为他是美善的。请大家赞美上主，阿利路亚。请大家赞美上主，因为他是美善的。请大家赞美上主，阿利路亚。
歌书第二十八首，歌书第二十八首。
永生的天主圣神，降临更新我。永生的天主圣神，降临更新我。变化我，塑造我，充满我，使用我。永生的天主圣神，降临更新我。永生的天主圣神，降临更新我。永生的天主圣神，降临更新我。变化我，塑造我，充满我，使用我。永生的天主圣神，降临更新我。
主耶稣，和平的君王，万有的天主，你是我们的始源，我们的终结，我们朝拜你，赞美你。你是我们永恒的恩主，唯一要侍奉的主人。我们信赖你，仰望你，以及爱慕你。在2001年8月25号，圣母给了我们的信息是：你们要以真诚对待自己，不要挂恋物质之事，要心系天主，不要忘记。小孩子们，生命有如花朵，只是过眼云烟。而在1984年的3月1号，圣母妈妈对 Yelena 这样说：每星期四要在至圣圣体前重复诵读马窦福音第6章24至34节。如果不能来到圣堂，就在家中与家人一起诵读。 而家我哋喺主耶稣面前，让我哋用心聆听呢一段福音。没有人能侍奉两个主人，他或是要恨一个而爱那一个，或是依附这一个而轻忽那一个。你们不能侍奉天主而又侍奉钱财。为此我告诉你们，不要为你们的生命忧虑吃什么或喝什么，也不要为你们的身体忧虑穿什么。难道生命不是归于食物，身体不是归于衣服吗？你们仰观天空的飞鸟，它们不播种，也不收获，也不在粮仓里囤积，你们的天父还是养活它们。你们不比它们更贵重吗？你们中谁能运用思虑，使自己的寿数增加一爪呢？关于衣服，你们又忧虑什么？你们观察一下田间的百合花怎样生长，他们既不劳作，也不纺织。可是我告诉你们，连撒罗门在他极盛的荣华时代所披戴的，也不如这些花种的一朵。田里的野草今天还在，明天就投在炉中。天主尚且这样装饰，信德薄弱的人啊，何况你们呢？所以你们不要忧虑说，我们吃什么、喝什么、穿什么，因为这一切都是外邦人所寻求的。你们的天父原晓得你们需要这一切，你们先该寻求天主的国和他的义德，这一切自会加给你们。所以你们不要为明天忧虑，因为明天有明天的忧虑，一天的苦足够一天受的了。主耶稣，感谢你的提醒教导，你是我们的主人，我们的导师，你的圣言是我们信赖的保证，你是我们的万有，我们全心信靠你。此刻我们将所有生活上的种种牵挂都交托给你，请帮助我们解除忧虑的束缚，使我们在你的爱内得到释放，重获心灵的自由。有谁，有哪个好像你这样给予人更大的应许，亦都是只有你才会照顾一切。主，你愿意我们如同小孩子这样牵住你的手，无忧无虑，全心信赖你的看顾保守。在新的一年开始，我们的心灵充满希望、喜乐以及平安，深信主你会看顾一切。现在我们将家庭、亲友、健康、生活的所需一一都交托给你。你教我们要先寻求天主的国和他的义德，趁这个新年开始，耶稣，我们立志要更多关心你的事， 你的话语，多作祈祷，多朝拜圣体，以增进与你的关系。你是我们唯独要侍奉的主人。耶稣，我们跪伏在你面前，同圣母妈妈一起将整个心投入你圣心的爱内，请你接纳。但愿我们的心灵只是属于你，每一日都是为你而活。阿们。以下的这一首歌，歌名是叫做《我知谁管着明天》，歌词是很有意义的，现在就跟大家分享，并由一位姊妹咏唱，让我们同心颂赞，表达我们对主的全心信赖以及交托。我首先读一次那些歌词先。我不知明天的道路，每一天只为主活。我不借明天的太阳，因明天或许阴暗。我不要为将来忧虑，因我信主的应许。我今天要与主同行，因他知前面如何。有许多未来的事情，我现在不能识透，但我知谁管着明天，我也知谁牵我手。每一步越走越光明，像攀登黄金阶梯，每重担越挑越轻省，每朵云披上银衣，在那里阳光常普照，在那里没有眼泪，在美丽彩虹的尽头，众山岭与天相连。有许多未来的事情，我现在不能识透，但我知谁管着明天，我也知谁牵我手。我不知明天的道路，或遭遇生活苦楚，但那位养活麻雀者，他必然也看顾我。他是我旅途的良伴，或经过水火之灾，但救主必与我同在，他宝血把我遮盖。有许多未来的事情，我现在不能识透，但我知谁管着明天，我也知谁牵我手。
明天，我也知。
的尽头，众生念与天相连。
耶稣，和平的君王，我们钦崇你，朝拜你。你讲过世界不能给予平安，真正的平安是由你而来。你的愿望是我们所有的家庭，丈夫和妻子，儿女和父母，老年人和青年人，彼此和睦生活。当我们愿意为爱其他人而牺牲自己，我们便有和平。为那些在和平中生活的家庭，我们赞美和感谢你，因为他们能够彼此相爱。请祝福他们，并赐他们永不厌倦去追求和平。至于那些现正经历纷乱的家庭，请你教导他们和平的途径，因为家庭生活不规律，往往是铺设离婚的途径，而暴力行为会妨碍儿童的成长，扰乱成年人，使到灵性价值窒息。在今日，尤其年青人是处于危机之中，每个人都在寻找平安，但是很多人永远都找不到平安，因为他们成为假先知的人质，而这些假先知许诺了平安，但是他们不会谈及宽恕、修和、公义以及爱，更加有很多人受到药物和酒精的影响，仿效不道德的行为，服从于世上不能够带来和平的规则。耶稣，请向他们显示你自己，并请你成为他们的和平， 使每一個人都能夠與聖奧斯定一起咁講：天主，我的心靈無法安息，直至他在你內休息。感謝你，耶穌，因為你的愛能夠帶領人邁向和平的途徑，並且因為你的能力、公義以及和平是會相遇的。耶穌，和平的君王，我們特別向你奉獻上那些沒有平安的家庭以及有問題的青年，請成為所有青年和所有家庭的和平。在1995年的3月25日，聖母提醒我們，今天我懇請你們在心靈內、在家庭中活出平安。小孩子們，沒有祈禱的地方便沒有平安，沒有信德的地方便沒有愛情。在2004年的10月25日，聖母這樣說，這是一個賜給家庭的恩寵時期，為此我呼喚你們要更新祈禱，讓耶穌留在你一家人的心中，讓每一個家庭在這欠缺祈禱與和平的世界裡成為愛情的見證。再在1995年的8月25日，聖母的信息這樣提及，一個家庭如果不祈禱便不能說他很平安，為此讓你們的早晨由早禱開始，晚上以感恩結束。小孩子們，我與你們同在，我愛你們，我祝福你們，我要你們每一個人都在我的懷抱中。聖母媽媽，好多謝你的提醒，請幫助我們在祈禱以及信靠之中善導這新的一年。在天主恩賜的時間裡面，努力去做和平的使者，給予天主聖三最大的光榮。阿嬤。歌書第22首。歌書第22首。
常住的平安，常住的平安，请赐给我们永存心中。常住的平安，常住的平安，请赐给我们永存心中。请留下靠近我们，请留下靠近我们，在你
3年的2月25日，聖母這樣說，平安是天主賜贈的珍貴禮物，你們尋求，你們祈禱，便會得到。 請談論平安，把平安盛葬 在心裡，就像培植需要水分、温柔和陽光的鮮花般培養它。請作為別人帶來平安的人。2006年的12月25號聖母的訊息這麼說：誰是天地的君王？誰就是你們的平安？小孩子們，誰也不能像和平的君王般賜給你們平安。為此，請在心中欽崇他，選擇他，你們便會在他內得到喜樂，他亦會以平安的祝福來祝福你們。在1990年的12月25號聖母的訊息提及到：為此祈求和平的君王以他的愛袍保護你們，求他助你們明白內心平安的奇妙和重要，這樣你們便能把發自內心的平安廣傳到普世地極。我與你們同在，並在天主台前為你們轉求。耶穌，和平的君王，我們讚美你，感謝你派遣了你的母親和平之後來到我們中間，教導我們平安的秘訣。聖母瑪利亞，感謝你和我們在一起，你徹底地整個人參與你聖旨的計劃。當你向天使宣布願照你的話成就於我身上吧，你刻意地將自己交託於這個和平的計劃，你將你的心交給和平的君王。當你手抱你的聖旨，天使的歌聲在你心裡回應。聖母媽媽，感謝你與我們一起在無限愛情的聖體面前瞻仰敬拜我們和平的君王。感謝你邀請我們成為一個和平的人，大給天主光榮。求你教導我們珍視耶穌在聖體中的臨在，在聖體之外改造影響我們整個的生命。當耶穌成為我們的一切，耶穌就是我們的平安。聖母媽媽，你呼喚我們要為和平祈禱，如今在聖體面前，請和我們一起祈求和平的君王。誰是這個迷失的世界、不安的社會以及不和的家庭？願聖體之愛傾出的恩寵和平安，在這個新一年裏面惠及眾生，全遍普世。耶穌，和平的君王，我們將新的一年奉獻給你，請你繼續垂顧祝福人類，聖化掌管家庭，保護及引領教會，拯救更新世界，使我們時常生活在天主的恩寵裏面。願我們的土星結合和平之後瑪利亞有力的轉求，期望蒙你悅納俯聽。在這個新年的開始， 求你将平安呢份礼物赐俾每一个家庭、社会、国家以及教会，使整个世界都享有来自你的平安以及祥和。阿们。歌书第三十三首，歌书第三十三首。
万福和平之后，万福慈爱之后，
今年的1月2号默主歌耶圣母的信息是这样的：亲爱的孩子们，我以母亲的眼光关注着你们，我看见你们内心充满忧愁以及痛苦，看见你们过去的伤痛与无助及不停地沉溺。我知道我的孩子们渴望得到快乐，但不知如何才可找到。只有向天父打开你们的心灵，才可得到这份喜乐。我愿意带领你们走这道路，天主绝不会离开他的子女，特别那些生活在痛苦及绝望中的子女。当你们明白这道理并接受这痛苦时，你们的快乐便指日可待，你们便会快乐及不用再去寻寻觅觅了。你们不会再害怕，你们的生命便成为我爱子的希望和真理。多谢你们，我恳求你们特别为我圣子所拣选的人祈祷，不要判断别人，因为你们将来要接受同样的判断。请坐下。
而家我哋请阿 Rose 妹啊嚟同我哋作朝圣嘅分享。
Hi, good evening everyone. My name is Rose Yu Lau, and 首先我想讲话，我的分享是会用英文去分享，因为英文是我第一个语言，咁希望你哋唔介意。I hope you don't mind. So I'd like to share about my experience of going to Medjugorje in May of last year. And I'd like to first start off by saying that one of the main things that I received from going on this pilgrimage is that I lost a lot of weight. So I want to just explain how. And I think from hearing my story, you'll understand that it's a different kind of weight that I'm talking about. So let me explain. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I like to do things a certain way. I like to strive to achieve certain goals in my life, to be a good person, to have a good career, and get a good family and friends. And I think that I do have all these things. But I always think that it's not enough, that I always want some more. And I feel that if I'm do something wrong or if I'm criticized by others, I will get very upset because I feel like I failed and I'll get very sad and depressed. So I find that when I do something wrong or something doesn't go my way, I'm very, very hard on myself. Okay, so you're thinking, so how does this relate to losing weight? Well, I'd like to share an experience that I had in 2009 after I gave birth to my son. He's now almost 3 years old. I always thought that I would be a very good mom because I really like kids. I'm very playful. I'm a big kid myself. And I'm also very patient. And I've read all the books that I can on being a good parent. So what else can go wrong, right? How hard can this be? Well, in the beginning, it was very hard because my son, he was in the hospital twice for in the first 3 months of his life for various reasons. And I just felt like it was my fault, that I did something wrong, that I was not a very good mother. How could me, the perfect mom, let my perfect son go into the hospital twice? Something's wrong with me. At that time, I didn't notice it, but now looking back, I can see that I was in a very different state of mind. And I had actually was going through a lot of postpartum depression. And it was so severe that I didn't even know who I was. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just doing ABC because it was routine. But really, I had no idea what was going on in my mind. It was so bad that I thought that God was telling me, you're Mary, your son is Jesus, your husband is Joseph. It was very, very delusional and not right and definitely not what God was telling me. And in fact, upon reflection, I would think it's not God, it's some other forces telling me very incorrect things. It was also to the point where I thought I would just give up on my life because this is just too hard. I'm not a good mother. It's all my fault. I should just end it. So I'm very thankful that at that time, my family saw that there was a problem going on and they took me to get some help in the hospital. And I spent some time in the hospital. I did so many things. I took medication, I went for counseling, I went to drink Chinese tea, and also went to I went to Mass a lot too, and I did pray. But I think deep down, there was always this weight in my heart. Why did this happen to me? Am I not a good girl? Did I not do everything right? Why did this something happen to me? So I think that while it's not a may not seem like a very huge suffering to you at that time, to me it was a very difficult time to go through, and I don't think I actually really healed until I went to Medjugorje. So why do I say that? Well, I think when I went to Medjugorje in May, I've never felt so much peace in my life. I felt like, I felt like when I went to Medjugorje, it was the most peaceful place in this world. And there was so much beauty and there was so much tranquility in the place. The green fields were just surrounded by all the mountains as far as the eye could see. And that's very fitting because Medjugorje means between the mountains. It's just so incredibly peaceful. And I felt like even before I went to Medjugorje, God was testing me. Because up until I went to Medjugorje, I still felt like I was going through a lot of stuff in my life. I was trying to sell my house. I was having a lot of arguments with my husband. And I felt like he wasn't listening, and he won't even do the consecration with me. How can I not? How come he won't listen? And why won't he change? Why won't he do all these things? And I felt very upset at him. I'm like, oh gosh, how am I going to go to Medjugorje with my husband? Like, think of all these things that's wrong with him. But when I arrived there, I learned so many things. I didn't see a lot of what some people see. I didn't see any spinning suns, the sun in the sky. I didn't see any visions. I didn't see any rosaries changing color. But like I said, I've experienced so much peace. I mean, where else can you go? You don't have to worry about cooking and cleaning and doing the laundry. All you have to think about is pray, pray, pray. Where else do you get this opportunity? At first I thought, what? You have to go to Mass twice a day? Oh my goodness. How am I going to do this? But I felt like I was looking forward to going to Mass twice a day. And when we were at Mass, I thought, oh, my son, he's 2 years old. He's going to act so naughty, and how am I going to concentrate? But all my son kept on telling me was, Mommy, Mommy, I want to get a blessing. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I also felt very extremely touched when I went to the drug rehabilitation center. On that day, there were two young men who gave a talk on their sharing. And the main message I got from their talk was, you have to keep your life simple. They wake up every morning, and the first thing they do is pray the rosary. Then they go to work and do other things. And the amazing thing is they wash their own clothes with their own two hands. So if two young men can wash their own clothes and hang them to dry, what other miracle are you looking for? Another thing I learned from their talk was how when he shares about his experience at Medjugorje with others, how he can help others through his sharing. So he talked about how when he turned his life back from drugs and he shared his story with his mom, how you could actually fix the relationship between him and his mom. Now, going back to the obstacles I felt I struggled with my husband before going to Medjugorje, that he doesn't change, he doesn't listen to me, he's so stubborn, he won't even do the consecration with me. But I remember there was a talk with by Father Danko, and he said one thing that really affected me. The most important thing is not to pray for change in your spouse, which is what I was trying to do all this time before I went to Medjugorje. Not to pray for his conversion, but to pray for my ability to open up myself about my own conversion. I am always very critical about other people around me, especially my husband, and I hold him to a very high level of expectation. But Father Danko told us this story. He said, one day a wife would always look out her window, and the only thing she could see was how negative her neighbors were and how dirty their laundry was. But really, it was her window that was dirty. It wasn't the neighbor's clothes that were dirty. So really, it's her perception. So I learned that when I'm extremely critical about other people, I should not seek to change them, but to change my way of thinking. And I think this really helps after I came back from Medjugorje. Another experience I had was the sharing by Nancy and Patrick. And Patrick's sharing just brought tears to my eyes. I mean, he's an amazing speaker if you guys have been to Medjugorje. And from him I learned how important it is to be a good role model to your children. And he received the message that if he doesn't change after reading the books on Mary's messages, then he's lost all chance. After his sharing, I felt like I had to go to confession right away. And I really felt like at Medjugorje I could make a very good confession, because after the confession I just felt all this weight lifted from my shoulders. And another place that I learned a big lesson was at the orphanage, where you just learn that the most important thing you can do for your family is sacrifice. And that I have carried on after I've left Medjugorje. So I hope you can see that a lot of these different weights that I've had before I went to Medjugorje were slowly being lifted away. Another big thing I learned is patience. I'm not very patient with my husband. I can be patient with everyone else, but I always have to feel like I have to go here, rush here, don't be late. But I don't know how to enjoy the moment. And I learned, there was one example when everyone in our pilgrimage went to listen to the David Parks concert, but I had to stay back in the hotel to take care of my son. And I was so impatient, it's not fair. So I just left the hotel with my son, and I tried to look for Peter in the concert hall, but I couldn't find him, my husband Peter. So then I got a message that, you know what, just be patient. Why don't you go and check out the statue where Jesus is. But when I went there were so much people there. All the Italian women were lining up with their cloths to wipe the Jesus' leg. I was like, well, what am I supposed to do here? It's a huge lineup. What am I supposed to do? And I learned then that if you have nothing else to do in a time where you're losing patience, you should pray the rosary. And in that lineup to touch Jesus' leg, I prayed three rosaries, three different mysteries. And that's something I brought back home, is that when you're really, really impatient or frustrated, pray the rosary. And I really feel that after I came back from Medjugorje, I've prayed the rosary so much more in my life. Another way I've lost weight during Medjugorje is that when we were going through the consecration, I offered up my family, my parents, my in-laws, my husband, my child, up to God. And I felt there that the weight of burden, of worry, of trying to change them was just gone. And as Father Francis, who was our spiritual director, stated, you're not God. Just leave everything in the hands of God and just be a good example to your family. I feel that there's a lot of other things that I learned from Medjugorje. I think I normally don't like to talk about so many personal experiences, and I was a little nervous about sharing my experience of depression, of how I felt I was not a very good mother. But when I went to the pilgrimage, I got a message that, don't be scared, you have nothing to be ashamed about. You should share your experience. So I did. So I talked about how I felt to my fellow pilgrim members. And to my surprise, nobody laughed, nobody pointed any fingers. But after my sharing, quite a number of people came up to me and talked to me about their problems, talked to me about how they felt, and was asking me for advice. I'm like, what? And I guess I felt like they saw that I could stand up and share something so personal, and they felt like I would listen. And I felt like maybe this is God's way of telling me, if you share your suffering so you can open up to others and they can share their suffering with you and you guys can learn together. And another example of how important sharing your experience is that after we came back from Medjugorje, we had an anniversary dinner, and a fellow member of mine who I don't really know that very well, we don't really talk much, in his sharing of Medjugorje told everyone he got a message from Mary saying, if you see Rose in Medjugorje, and he never talks to me, we don't really talk, you go up to her and say, your son is very lucky to have such a good mother like you. So all of a sudden, we were walking in Medjugorje, he just comes up and says that to me. With no hello, hi, just says that to me. And in his sharing later on, after he came back from the pilgrimage, he said, I got a message that I really need to tell you that. And I felt like God was acting through him to tell me that, don't worry, you are a good mother. And that just spoke a lot to me. And God is very interesting. Where else can, at Medjugorje is very interesting, I should say. Where else can you gather on a hilltop, and I mean on Apparition Hill, with hundreds and thousands of people, and when Mary is supposed to appear at that specific time, at 10 o'clock, there was absolute silence. It was amazing. And at that moment, I was standing on the hilltop with my husband, who was carrying our son on his back, for over 2 hours. And I just got the message, because my son was crying a little bit, I told him, don't worry, God loves you, Jesus loves you, and Mary loves you. Everything is okay. I don't know why I just said that. And now looking back, I feel like that's how God is telling me, don't worry. God loves you, Jesus loves you, and Mary loves you. And look at this worship, and look at this adoration and silence where there's hundreds and thousands of people. Okay, one dog barked, that's it. But like, that was the most amazing, peaceful moment. And I took away from that, I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be a good mother, as long as I can always treasure that in my heart. To me, that was very, very powerful. So I think that if there is anyone here who has not gone to Medjugorje, it's a place where you'll be challenged not only physically, like by climbing the hill and cross mountain, but spiritually, and also you have a chance to be proud of your faith, because you can see so many people there practicing their faith and believing in one thing. I think that this year, I hope I can practice the 5 stones more in my life. I know that the rosary, as I said, I pray the rosary every day. And it's interesting, sometimes when traffic is really bad or my husband and I got into a fight, my husband will kind of look up at me and kind of wave the white flag and say, do you want to pray the rosary together and not be mad? I think that's a pretty good gift for someone who doesn't really pray the rosary before a lot. I'm trying to teach my son more about scripture, but he's very young, but I'm trying to tell him more stories from the Bible. But I'm still lacking in following the other 5 stones. So I hope that this year my resolution is I will do better, because Mary has planted all of these gifts in my heart. So I'd like to summarize by saying that by going to Medjugorje, I lost all the weight of my worry about being a good mother. I lost all the weight of worrying about my husband and worrying that he won't change to be someone that is good. I lost all the weight about worrying about my family, about trying to convince people to think like me or to believe in what I believe. And I lost all the weight of trying to be a perfect person, where when God just loves me for whom I am. And by going to Medjugorje, I was able to learn more about the best role model of a mother, Mother Mary. So, in closing, I'd like to say that God was very lenient with me because He could teach me about all these ways to lose weight in such a very simple example. I'm not saying, you know, the suffering I went through, yes, it was very hard before, the depression and whatnot, but so many other people have it so much harder than I. I'm nothing, that's nothing. But if I can take away all this stuff, I'm very grateful to God. I'm also very grateful to God that He feels I can raise another child because I'm pregnant. When my husband and I asked God for another baby, He gave one to us right away. So I'm very grateful for that. And finally, I'm very grateful for my husband, who's actually not here today because he's at home taking care of our son. And I feel that, you know, this pilgrimage would not have been the same without him. And I really thank God for giving him to me to be a part of my life. And I really hope that in the next few years I can go back to Medjugorje again. When we were there, we got to renew our 5-year wedding anniversary, and I thought that was very, very meaningful. And so who knows, so maybe we'll renew our 10-year anniversary in Medjugorje again. So thank you very much for your time, for listening to my sharing. I hope you found it was useful. And God bless. Thank you.
我的母亲，我全属于你。